שבועות טוב רבותיי. ברוכים הבאים. We are studying Sefer Tehillim. Tonight we are up to Perek Het, chapter 8. To introduce tonight's chapter, we start with a quote from Harambam in Perek Bet of Yesodei Torah, in the mitzvah of Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elohecha. There is an obligation that we must love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Harambam writes in Halakha Bet, Ve'e achi ha-derech le'ahavato v'yirato. What is the road that will lead us to the love and the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? B'sha'a shi'yitbonen ha'adam b'ma'asav u'bru'av ha'nifla'im ha'gedolim ויראה מהם חוכמתו שאין לה ערך ולא קץ, מיד הוא אוהב ומשבח ומפאר ומתאבר תאווה גדולה לידע השם הגדול, כמו שאמר דוד, שמאה נפשי לאלוהים לאל חי. The way a person comes to the love of הקדוש ברוך הוא, says הרמב״ם, is when he starts to ponder the wondrous acts of creation. And he starts to see how the Chokhmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests itself in every area of Biryat HaOlam. And he sees the genius and the wisdom behind it. That already will lead a person to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu and lead him to the love. The nature. The person studies nature and sees the stars and the moon and the blades of grass and all the other creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Bechokhmah yasad eres, that he created it with great intellect. Then already to lead you to great love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says, Ukshmehashev v'dvarim ha'elu atzmam. And when you start to ponder this awesome wisdom, miyadu nirtal la'achorav, he's taken aback. V'yarev, v'yifhad, and he'll start to have fear. V'yodeyach shu b'riyah ketana shefela. And he'll start to recognize his own insignificance. When he starts to look at the cosmos and the worlds and the galaxies and all that's out there. And when he looks at his position in such a large universe, he'll start to look at himself and he says, what am I? I'm a mere speck. Omed bide'ak kalam mi'utan. He's going to start to compare his wisdom and his intellect to the brilliance of Ein Sof, of the unlimited and infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefnei tevim de'ot. So he says, the road to Ahavat Hashem and Yirat Hashem is the study of nature, is the study of creation. And it's with this template David HaMelech authored the 8th chapter in Tehillim. Lam Naseya al Gitit, Mizmor de David. Now, our first challenge tonight is to explain the word Gitit. What is this Gitit? So different commentators, according to some commentators, the gitit is actually an instrument. And therefore, as we said, David HaMelech not only chose the words for each perek, but which musical instrument is played based on what it represents was also chosen by David HaMelech. And he would give it to the Menatzeach. The Menatzeach was the conductor. So besides the conductor getting the sheet music and the words, the lyrics, he also was told, this song you play with the gitit. This is the type of instrument that is played. The reason maybe why it was called the Gitit, the Me'iri says, because it was invented or manufactured in the town of Gat. So they named it after that city. The Radak explains that the reason why this Tehillim is introduced with Gitit, because David composed it when he was in the city of Gat. Some say that this chapter was actually a chapter praising the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically the Aron, the Ark. Now we know the Ark was housed in the home of Oved Edom Agiti. And then David HaMelech took it from that house and he brought it to Yerushalayim with great parade and singing and dancing, etc. So the Aron is called the Gitit, the ark that was in the house of Oved Edom, the Giti, who incidentally was a Levi. So what did David HaMelech say in this Mizmor? Adonai Adonenu, Ma'adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'ares, Asher Tena Hodecha Ala Shamayim. David says, Hashem, Hashem Adonenu, our Master, how mighty is your name throughout the earth. Ma'adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'ares. Your name, whenever you say the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we mean the attributes, the way God acts. Your name is mighty throughout the earth. For it were fit that you place your majesty above the heavens. Asher tenao decha l'shamayim. What does this mean? So the Mefarshim explain, your might, as she says, is beyond measure. And capacity of creatures below who are unworthy of having your Holy Spirit dwell in their midst, which means you're so great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really? Asher tenao decha l'shamayim. Your splendor should remain in the heaven. Who are we that you come down and you share with us your greatness? We're shocked. He can't believe how mighty God's presence is in the earth where it should really be. Asher tenao decha l'shamayim. Really, if God's presence should not mingle with earthlings and people like us, he should really remain in the earth, in the heavens. As it said, it truly belongs above the heavens, for humanity is unworthy of such splendor and inadequate to appreciate it. Nevertheless, with great humility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and rests with us. Mipi olilim v'yonekim. Yisad ta'oz, demaan sonerecha, lehashbit oyev umetakem. David HaMelech says, "Mipi olelim." An olel is a baby that's just born. The yonekim are the children that are nursing from their mother. Yisad ta'oz, you establish strength. What is the strength that was established from the little children? So David HaMelech wants to show how even on the smallest things on earth, even the pi olelim v'yonekim, you establish your greatness. Why? Just look at how many miracles it is for a child to enter this world. An olel, that a moment before he was in his mother's womb, he was eating from the mother's food, from an umbilical cord. He was surrounded by water in a totally different environment. His mouth sealed shut. If his mouth would open even a drop, there'd be sakana. All the fluids in the embryonic sac would enter him, and some of it is poisonous. He could die. His mouth is shut. It doesn't open. And then, miraculously, at the moment that the child emerges into the world, if his mouth would remain shut, Chas v'Shalom, the baby would die. He would not be able to breathe. And instantaneously, it opens up, and now already he's able to have life. If the mouth opens up a second before, Chas v'Shalom, sakana mipi olelim, even from the little children, you Yisadtaz, we can see the wondrous things of creation. And then the child that was never taught anything yet, never went to school, automatically knows how to nurse. The mother holds the child next to it, and the child knows exactly how to suck the milk out. And he's able to apply the pressure. You don't have to go to school for that. The child has no wisdom, but Borei Olam gives him wisdom to sustain himself. If he's not going to know how to suck the milk, then he's not going to be able to live. Who taught the child this? Even from the yonek, yisad ta'oz. And look at the brilliance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he created the nursing mother. Just enough milk comes out. If a little more milk would come out of the pores of the mother, the child would choke. But on the other hand, it has to be enough milk that the child is able to draw out according to his strength. After all, how strong is the child's mouth when he's just born? So therefore, it has to be a perfect symmetry between the pressure that the child is able to draw out the milk and the amount of milk that comes out accordingly. If any of those two variables are not exact, then chas v'shalom, the child finds himself in danger. Even the milk, we ask ourselves, where does this milk come from? Where does all of a sudden the mother produce milk? Mother's not a cow. She doesn't produce milk every single day. At the time of the birth, the Gemara says, "Dam naaseh halav." The Gemara says the blood that normally the lady experiences during dam nida, she doesn't have dam nida when she's nursing, because miraculously that blood turns into milk. The scientists today haven't figured out yet how to turn blood into milk. Not only does Borei Olam turn the red into white, but he turns the inedible into edible. But not only that, he's able to produce it in such a way with all the nutrients that the child is going to need. This modern science tells us that for the first few days, it's not even regular milk, it's what they call colostrum. And the colostrum that the body produces, how beneficial is it to the young child? Modern medicine has proven that this colostrum saves the child from diseases, from allergies, and from all sorts of sicknesses. It's almost as if Borei Olam gave the mother certain, certain medicine to immunize the child at such a young age. And then after 3 days, the colostrum turns into a different form of milk. How's this happen? Who's doing that? And all the mother has to do is drink water and eat a certain diet, and the milk factory is produced by itself. David HaMelech says, you don't have to go look at Og Melech HaBashan, or look at the sun and the moon and the gigantic stars to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even you just see a little baby nursing with from his mother, you say, Yishtabach Shevo La'ad. You see the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how many miracles take place even at that. I quote from Rav Samson Rafael Hirsch, and the way he explained this pasuk. The recognition of God is not a supernatural mystery to be fathomed only in the far-flung zones of outer space. It is a reality which proclaims itself in every small spot on earth. It is intelligible even to olelim, even to the babes. Even if the name of God would be erased from earth and expunged from all books, of an arrogant, erring human science, still every pure, new soul born into the world, uncorrupted, would on its own sense and notice God everywhere. In this way, the babes are the bedrock foundation of permanently establishing God's name on the earth forever. Which means, even a baby can recognize there has to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Because he's pure, he wasn't affected yet by all the apikorsut of society. The babies, how did it happen over here? How did I come in the world? How am I getting food? How's this happening? Mepi on elim yisat ta'oz. There is a... Well, let's finish the pasuk before we continue. The ma'an sorerecha, which means these proofs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world are a proof against our enemies, the tormentors of God that try to say there is no God, the evolutionists, those that try to say that the world was just one big accident, that it happened by itself. All the proofs of nature stand against lema'an sorerecha, against your tormentors. Lehashbit oyev umitnakem, in order to destroy and silence the foe and avenger, those that come along and want to deny the existence of God. There is a mashal that the Hachamim give. If God is so evident in the world from the creation, How come so many people don't see it? So one rabbi tells a mashal, where a person, they tell him that there's radio waves, there's sound waves, and there's telephone waves. So he says, I can't see them. So he goes to the eyeglass store and he buys a pair of glasses. Now he puts the glasses on, he still can't see the waves. So he goes to the laboratory and he gets a microscope, and he still can't see it. And he gets a telescope and he still can't see it. The lesson being, if you're looking at a radio wave with the wrong instrument, you'll never be able to find it. You need the right vehicle to measure the existence of a radio wave. People that come into this world, they have glasses, but their glasses are tainted. What's on their glasses? Ta'ava, lust, desire. To them, if they admit that there's God in the world, that brings them a conscious. And if they have a conscious, they're not going to be able to go and live their life as free and as liberal as they want. And therefore they look through the glasses that are tainted already. And therefore they can be standing in front of the Shekhinah, but they don't see it because the ta'ava blinds them. Only somebody that truly commits himself to a life of Torah study, then already able to remove the fogginess of the lenses. Then he's able to have a true idealistic or pure look at the world. And then he's able to see the Shekhinah. But when a person wants to enjoy life, and a person wants to be involved in his Yetzer Hara, then he's unable to see because he doesn't want to see God. And therefore, he's blinded by the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, the prerequisite to seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu is first to free oneself and open himself up to, if there is a Borei Olam, I want to follow whatever he says. To accept upon yourself the yoke of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if it exists. Once already you accept such a thing, then already you'll see him. There's no place where you won't see him. Like we say in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, V'shimcha nora al kol ma shebarata. What does it mean, al kol ma shebarata? Your name manifests even on the ma, on the ma bekach, even on the al kol ma, even on the devarim, the small things, whether it's an ant or whether it's a crystal of sand. Do you know that there are scientists that spend their life just analyzing the atomic structure of a crystal of sand? They can spend a lifetime analyzing all the molecules that just make up one crystal, and they still haven't come to conclusion figuring out exactly all the depth behind one crystal of sand. Yishtabach Shem Olahad. So you don't even have to get to the sun and the moon yet, to these stars, to the galaxies. Already the smallest creature, the lice and the ant, already screams out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. And that's what it means, Lashbit Oyevu Mitnakem. The study of creation destroys the enemies of God. Because they're forced eventually to say, only this could have been created by divine design. This could not have been made such a complicated world by chance, or by accident, or by mistake. Nature itself is the biggest refutation. The world itself is the biggest refutation of these deniers of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lashbit, it silences the Oyev and the Mitnakem and the enemies of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Our Hakamim explained this pasuk in many ways. We'll give one interpretation that the Gemara Sota says. The Gemara Sota Daf Lamed says, Taru Rabbanan, Tarash Rabbi Yosei Gilili, when the Jewish people came out of Yam Suf, Egypt, they wanted to sing. How did they sing the song? They had a little baby, infant, just born, was sitting on his mother's lap. He had a little suckling, a little child nursing from his mother. When they saw Shekhinah manifest at the time of Kiryat Yam Suf, the little baby lifted his neck, and the child pulled away from his mother, even the babies started to miraculously sing the songs of God. Ze'eri v'anveu. Shre'emar. Mipi olelim v'yonekim. Yisat ta'oz. It was from the mouth of babes, from the mouth of suckling children, yisat ta'oz, he established the strength. What does this mean over here? What did they establish exactly? Yes, it's truly a miracle that they sang the song, but what did they establish exactly? So the Mefarshim explained like this. When the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, the sea split for them. When they came to the other side, they knew that the Egyptians were chasing them. So they felt that just like they entered Yamsuf and came out the other side, it was just a matter of time that the Egyptian counterparts are going to catch up to them. And they're going to meet them on the other side as well. So the Jewish people hesitated to sing as Yashin Moshe Deis. They hesitated to sing yet because they didn't know if they're protected yet. They didn't know if this was just a setup that the Egyptians were going to meet them on the other side. So they waited. And they were scared, they were nervous. So what did God do? God made a miracle. And the Yamsuf started to spit out all the corpses of the Egyptians. Like it expelled it. Out of Yamsuf, they said, see the corpses flying out of Yamsuf, piling up. So the Jews started to see, says, Vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim met al Sefat Hayam. It says the Jewish people saw Mitzrayim met. They saw the actual corpses met al Sefat Hayam. But still they were nervous. Because they said, who says that this is all of them? Maybe this is just a lot of them, but still maybe there's Egyptians that escaped and they're gonna meet us on the other side. And all of a sudden, at that given moment, the mothers were sitting with the little babies on their laps. All of a sudden, a little baby doesn't know how to talk. A little child that's nursing, all of a sudden pulls himself off and lifts his neck up and says, Ze Eli v'anvehu Elohe Abi v'arom emenu. And the people went wild. They said, this is a miracle of the highest proportion. We never saw this before. And they said to themselves, must be, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu made this miracle, that means that the Egyptians surely drowned. God is not going to make a miracle for nothing. Why is God going to create such a miracle that the children are going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Egyptians are going to come and kill us? This was the cement that assured Klal Yisrael that the miracle was actually conclusive. And therefore, Mipi Olelim V'Yonekim Yisad Ta'oz. They established strength between then, obviously, when they saw those children singing. Yisad Ta'oz, it gave them courage. And why did this happen? It happened in Ma'an Sorerecha, because of the enemies. The Jews were scared of the enemies. But at that point, they realized, Lehashbit Oyev U'mitnakem. That at that point, all the enemies and all the adversaries of God, they were silenced, they were killed. And therefore, it was the children, the babies, that established the Shira for Am Yisrael at the time of Kiryat Yamsuf. There might be other interpretations as well. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left the heavens, so to speak, whose hod is in the Shamayim, but Hashem Adonenu Ma'adi Shemcha B'chol Ha'aretz, He has come down to the earth. We don't realize how close HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to all of us. We cannot fathom the ahava, the love, and the closeness HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to all His creations. To the secular Jew thinks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in the Shamayim, does He care if you read another Perek of Tehillim? Does He care if you study another page of Gemara? What does He care about our Shemirat Shabbat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy in the upper worlds, involved in much more important things. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in all our mundane things? And this we have to remember as a yesod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. I'll give you a mashal that Rabbi Pinkus brings down. Just to show you the humility and the involvement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. He says, imagine Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Alav Shalom, walking to synagogue at Erev Kippur. What is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter thinking about at that time? Yom Adin, Teshuvah, the most serious thoughts. I mean, you can imagine his mind is in the upper worlds, thinking about what's Kippur going to be, the Kanidre, all the lofty thoughts that go into a Gadol's mind in preparation for the moment. And as he's walking to the synagogue, he sees a Jew that's visibly bothered. He's pained. He's upset. So, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asked the guy, the Mashal, what's bothering you? He says, I don't know if this tie matches the suit that I'm wearing. I can't decide if this green over here goes with the stripe or not. Says Rav Pinkus, is Rav Yisrael Salanter capable to feel this guy's pain? On the contrary, he says, what are you, this is what you're thinking about the Erev Kippur, this is what you're worried about, your tie, not your tie, we're about to get judged now for the rest of the year, this is what's, which means he's so above this pettiness, he can't even relate. So if Rav Yisrael Salanter would have a hard time relating to a petty problem, could you imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Ein Sof, for him to worry about whether I have milk in my refrigerator tomorrow morning. What does it mean? Oh, he's worried about my panasah, or my problems, or my issues. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spiritual of spiritual, what is he? And to that, David HaMelech comes along and says, in the next Pesukim, to answer that question, if you think, am I worthy? Am I worthy of the thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have me on his mind? David HaMelech says, Ki yir'eh shamecha, ma'aseh etzbe'otecha, yareyah ve'kochavim asher konanta. It says, Borei Olam, when I look, behold, at the heavens, Shamecha, the Shamayim, Ma'aseh Esbe'otecha, I see the work of your fingers. The reason why it's called the fingers, because a person has 10 fingers. And supposedly in the heavens, there's the 10 levels, they call them the 10 Sefirot. And therefore, when a person looks up all the way to the Kisei HaKavod, you see the 10 different filters that reach all the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I see Ma'aseh Be'otecha, Yareyah Ve'Chochavim, I see the stars, and I see the moon, Asher Konanta, that you created. And I see the wonders of it. Planet Earth is a very small entity compared to the stars in the heavens. The stars in the heavens are millions, I'm not exaggerating now, millions of times greater than planet Earth. Planet Earth is a very small planet. And therefore, David HaMelech says, when I look up in the heavens and I see Yareya, the Kochavim, and how everything is working in tandem, everything is working perfectly. Yareya, the Kochavim, Asher Konanta, that you placed in the heavens. And I say to myself, how small am I? According to the Kabbalah, there's millions of worlds. Not with people. Olamot, there's worlds and worlds and spiritual places. It's endless. It's eternal. So David HaMelech starts looking at the heavens. Kirei shamecha, ma'aseh be'otecha, yareyah, kochavim, asher konanta. And then David HaMelech looks at himself and he says, Ma enosh ki tizkerenu? Who are we? What a frail human being. Enosh is a frail human. Ki tizkerenu? You should remember me. How can it be that, you know what God's thinking about all day? Us. With everything that's going on, who's the most important thing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind? Enosh a frail human being. Uben Adam ki tifkedenu. Ben Adam is a mortal human being. Ben Adama. A human being that eventually is going to end in the ground. A mortal human being that you are going to remember him. And not only do you remember us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'tehasereu me'at me'lohim. Not only do you remember us and think of us, but you have made him only a bit less than angels. V'chavod be'adar te'atereu. And you have crowned him with kavod, a soul, and splendor. Which means you have given man such importance. Human beings are able to surpass all living creatures and even reach a madrega loftier than angels, to the extent where we read in the Gemara that some of our rabbis, when they studied Ma'aseh Merkava, for example, and so I'll explain to you what that is in a moment, angels would come and listen to them. I mean, the Malach, Michael, and Gavriel would attend the Shi'urim of the Hachamim. That means the human being, you gave them so much potential, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Asereu Me'at Meloim, they could reach the Madrega of angels even higher than angels, in certain extents. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu reached the 49th level of Sha'are Bina. Shlomo HaMelech reached, according to some opinions, the 50th level of Sha'are Bina. That's how a human being is able to reach. And that's what Rabbi Pinkus says over here. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta might not be able to empathize with a Jew on Erev Kippur worrying about if he's wearing the right tie or not. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as far as he is from us, that's how close he is to us. And that's what Ibn Gabirul, Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Gabirul, in his piyut called Keter Malchut says, Rahok ata mikol rahok, vekarov mikol karov. That your father, and you're more distant than anybody, but at the same time, you're closer than close. And that's what we say during the Keter, Melocho la'aretz kevodo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your glory fills the entire universe. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Menunag, Rav Berachot Daf Nun Chet, Haroe Uchnuse Yisrael. If a person sees 600,000 Jews at one time, Omer, he says, Baruch Hacham Harazim. Make a beracha. You have to know that. This is important. When Mashiach comes, you're going to see 600,000 Jews at one setting. So one of the first things in order, besides the other mitzvot that we're going to fulfill, you're going to have a chance to make this beracha. Some say, you say, B'Shem HaMalchut, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Hacham Harazim. What does that mean? So Rashi explains it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hacham, is the wise one that knows what everybody's thinking. Harazim, he knows the secrets that are in all these people's minds. Which means, God's concern what these 600,000 people are thinking about. Which means when you look at yourself, you say, wait a minute, I'm nothing, I'm a speck, I'm nothing. Know that if you look at God's agenda on his schedule of the day, not only for 1 second, every thought that you think of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it. And he's monitoring it. And he's concerned from the highest things to the smallest things. It's like, he tells a story over here, which I think brings it down, the mashal. Pinkus says one time he went to a rich guy to collect money. And he's giving him his whole spiel, his whole story of the yeshiva, this, and he sees the guy just sitting there very, very cold. The rich guy just sitting there and nodding his head, yeah. So he says, Rabbi, you have to forgive my attitude. Many tears have fallen on this table from different collectors. I heard every story. I heard every sales pitch. I heard every angle. So, you know, I'm listening to you with a little cold heart already, because I've become hardened from all these type of stories already. And Rabbi Pinkus, I understand him. Why am I different than the next guy? I came in, I give my story, the yeshiva, we need the money, and he hears this 100 times a day already. I've done enough already. He says, but that's the difference between a human being and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears these stories every single day. How many times do you hear these? Every day people coming to him, I need money, I need this, I need help. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu just sitting at the desk and he has to give out. Eventually, you'd say a human being by that point would say, enough already, you're taking advantage of me, how much can I give you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only dispenses the chesed to everybody, he gives everybody what they need, but b'simcha, he loves us, he's not doing it as if the rich man takes the check and gives it to the guy, I take it. And the guy knows, I got the check, but the guy wasn't happy writing it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter how many times he hears the same plea, from how many people, and how petty it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's our problem, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the sad of every person. But not only that, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to every human being is unlimited. Imagine you went to a rich man and you said, I need $2,000. Why? Well, because I really don't want to dip into my banking savings account. So, you know, if you can give me the $2,000. The guy says, what? I should give you $2,000 because you're a kamsan. You don't want to dip into your savings account. But this is I'm not. I said that type of chesed already. I'm not interested in you. You come to me at the verge of death. You're starving. I'll give you $1,000 to go get something to eat. But you're gonna come down and tell me because you don't want to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed is not like that. Borei Olam's chesed is unlimited. We come to Borei Olam, we have money in our checking account and our savings account, and we come Borei Olam, we need more money. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can't have it. And even if he says you can't have it, it's not because you have money in the checking account. It's only because he feels it's not necessary for you to have, meaning it's not to your benefit to have that extra money. But if it was to your benefit, give it to you. Which means there's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, it's ultimate chesed. It's not, oh, you didn't learn good today, I'm not giving you food. It doesn't work like that. The chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noten ve'ozer ve'noten, even if it doesn't make sense to a human being. And that's how intimately it was involved in our purposes. There's a very important dialogue in the Torah between Yaakov Avinu and his wife Rachel. Yaakov Avinu comes to Rachel comes to Yaakov Avinu. Have Ali Bani, want children. What does Yaakov Avinu answer? Atahat Elohim Anochi. What am I, God? What exactly was Rachel saying? And what exactly is Yaakov answering? So the explanation might be as follows. Mashal de Ma'adavar Dome, there was a child was born, his father raised him from when he was young under the best conditions. Did not spare anything for the child. He gave him everything he wanted. He did, took him to the best clothes, bought him, sent him to the best yeshivot, hired him a tutor, paid the tutor a lot of money in order to teach him Torah, married him off, promised to support him for the rest of his life if he'll learn, bought him a house, expended everything. Then what happened? The son, one day, wants to smoke a cigarette. So he goes to his father, he tells his father, Dad, you have a match? So his father says, no, I can't give you a match. So the son says, what a kamsan my father is. How much is a match? He can't give me a little match, nothing, was it a penny, not even a penny? Now, of course, you say to yourself, because he's a kamsan, the father gave him everything. But what? This thing he can't give him. Why? Because he doesn't want to, let's say, give it to him for whatever purpose it is. He doesn't want to give him the match. Does that mean he's a kamsan? He wants to hold this for himself. He gave him the whole world. The same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachel comes to Yaakov Abinu. Have Ali Banim. Yaakov. You're not worse than Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi was able to promise a lady who didn't have children. Well, you're better than Eliyahu Navi. You're a miracle worker yourself. You can make nesim. So just make a snap, make a prayer. I want children.
So
Yaakov Avinu says, "Hata'at Elohim Anochi." Look what Hakadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who created this world, millions of olamot, the whole entire creation, the animals, the fish, the trees, everything, and all that He gave to us. All this is ours. This is our gift from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's your world. Enjoy it. Three keys Hakadosh Baruch Hu kept for Himself. One, the key of Parnasa. One, the key of children. And one, the key of Tehiyat HaMitim. The Gemara says in Ta'anit Dabbet, Gimel Maftihot. He has three keys. So he's coming along, Yaakov, and saying, how can we complain? God gave us 99.999% of the creation. So that little 0.1% that He kept for Himself, now I'm going to have claims against God? Am I God? I already received so much from Him now. Now you want to already take His key? He has the key of children. If He wants to give us, He'll give us. And if He doesn't want to give us, that's up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We cannot now have claims against Kadosh Baruch Hu on this subject after all that He gave us and all that He endowed us. So we can have questions on Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means. Look what He gave us. He gave us the ability to elevate ourselves like Malachim. But what? Kadosh Baruch Hu kept certain things for Himself. That already we cannot have ta'anot. The pasuk continues. Tamshileu b'maase yadecha, kol shata tachat raglav. You gave Him dominion over the works of your hand. Tamshileu b'maase yadecha, kol shata tachat raglav. You placed everything under His feet. Which simply means over here, man was given mastery over all the creation. You have to know that. Not like the animal rights activists think that the animals have rights also. Who was a human being to go and slaughter a cow in order to take its hide and make a belt? Let's say a cow would decide to slaughter a human being in order to make a belt for itself. Would it be right? And therefore they come along and say, equal rights for the animals. A human being has no right. Now these are people who are hypocrites by nature, because I have no doubt if there'd be a tarantula crawling up their leg, you'd see how fast these animal rights activists would kill that tarantula. And then call an exterminator to exterminate all the other termites that are crawling in their apartment. If they love the animals so much, hey, live and let live. So they decided to live in your apartment. They want to live in your bedroom. So what are you doing? Leave them alone, the poor creatures. So these people are hypocrites themselves. In any event, the pasuk of Israel is a very important hashkafa. Tamshileu b'maase yadecha. Man has dominion over the creation. Kol shata tachat raglav. God put the whole world under the feet of a human being. Which means He is in control. With this, the Mefarshim explain a beracha that we make every morning in the Berachot HaShachar. Every morning we make a beracha, Sha'asali kol tzorki. God, You provided me with all my needs. When is that beracha made? When we put on a pair of shoes. So the simple interpretation is because without a pair of shoes, you would not be able to tend to your needs. You have to run out in the market. If the person doesn't have shoes, you can't run out in the marketplace and make do your errands. So You provided me with all my needs via the pair of shoes that You gave me. But a deeper interpretation is as follows. There are four parts of creation. The domem, the tzomeach, hay, medaber. The domem is the inanimate. That's like the earth. What comes out of the earth? Tzomeach. That's the vegetation, the plants. So the plants is higher than the earth. The earth serves the level above it. Tzomeach, high. Who's the high? The animals. The animals eat the vegetation. So again, the vegetation serves the class that's above it. And then you have on top, medaber. Who's the medaber? The human being. That means the animal that's below it serves the human being. How does the animal, just like the earth serves the vegetation and the vegetation serves the animal, the animals, we're all the plant activists. Maybe it's not proper for an animal to eat grass. Grass also has a right to exist. Yeah, but then they're in a catch-22, because if I protect the environment, then I'm going to kill all the animals. So now, you can't be a pro-grass and a pro-animal at the same time, because either you're going to have grass or no animals, or animals or no grass. So never you see they contradict themselves. They chose animals, and they leave the green piece, that's another movement. So now you have over here, human beings on top, and everything below them is created to serve human beings. Maybe we can slaughter animals, we can eat animals, we can use a shore as a worker in the field in order to plow the ground, and we're able to use it at our discretion. Of course, Sar Ba'al Hayim is asur min Torah. We cannot, with intention, you know, hurt an animal or damage it. So the explanation is like this. When a human being wears shoes, you thought that shoes are just a fashion statement. When a human being wears leather shoes, you are speaking very loudly, a loud hashkafic statement, a loud philosophical statement. When a Jewish person puts on shoes in the morning, you know what you're really saying? The whole world was created to serve me. I'm the top of the creation. Sha'asali kol sorki. When a person puts on his leather shoes in the morning, he reminds himself, I'm the king of the creation, and everything beneath me, which is the animals, the plants, the domain, which is everything in the world, was created. Lo bara olam ela l'shem mesheni. The whole world was created to serve me. The whole world was created for my purposes. And therefore the shoes are remind us of Sha'asali kol sorki. Everything is for me. And maybe that's why, in this week's parasha, when God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time, when he reveals to him that revelation at the burning bush, what does Borei Olam tell Moshe? Shalna alecha me'al naglecha. Take off your shoes. Why? Why at that point take off your shoes? Because in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to espouse that hashkapah, that I'm in control of the whole of the... Not in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have no control. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Borei Olam's reign supreme. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the only one that has dominion. You don't show your power in front of the omnipresent. And therefore, Shana Alecha Ma'al Naglecha. Here is not a time for you to say, Sha'asali Kol Sorki, everything is mine, everything. And that's what the pasuk means over here. When David HaMelech says, Tamshileu B'Ma'asei Yadecha, you gave him dominion over the works. Kol shata tahat raglav. Everything is placed under the feet of human beings, which means David HaMelech, from the shoes that you wear. Kol shata tahat raglav. From what's under your feet is the biggest indication to show, the leather shoes of a person is the biggest indication to show that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world is in order to serve him. And what are those? Tzone va'alafim kulam v'gam bahamot sadai. The sheep, that's the tzone, like tzon. Va'alafim, that's cattle. Kulam, everything. V'gam bahamot sadai. And the beasts in the open field. The Kaf HaHayim brings that at the beginning of Hilchot Shechita. An animal, if you could understand animal talk, when you hear a cow mooing, it's talking. What is it saying? So the Kaf HaHayim says, you know what it's saying? It's praying to Kadosh Baruch Hu that it'll have the zechut, that a Jewish shochet will come and slaughter it kahalacha, and his food will be glat kasher, and it'll end up on a Jewish table, and they'll be able to make a beracha on him. You know why? Because now that animal goes from being a high and he becomes part of a midabir. Now that meat that was in an animal form is now part of a human being. And if it's kasher, if it's with a beracha, it becomes elevated. Therefore, on the contrary, those animal right activists think they're doing animals a favor. What are you doing? You're keeping them animals. We come along and say, elevate them. We give them a chance to become part of a medaber, to letting them serve us. And he said, that's the biggest wish of the animal, to be slaughtered by a ritual shohet. That being said, David HaMelech says, not only the animals, Sipor Shamayim Udge Hayam, the birds in the heaven, Udge Hayam, and the fish in the sea, Over Orchot Yamim, that cross over the paths of the sea. All these were created with great intellect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to serve us. Rabbi Pinkus continues, and he says, this principle, or this study that we call Ma'aseh Merkabah, what is it? He says, Ma'aseh Merkabah is the study of understanding what every creation's purpose is in this world. Number one, understanding its nature, but then understanding why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create it. I don't know how many fish there are in the world, but if you go to an aquarium, you'd see hundreds of different types of species. The great Hakamim that were experts in Ma'aseh Merkabah, says Rabbi Pinkus, they knew exactly why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every single type of fish. They knew why every tree was created. They knew how many leaves were on every tree and what the purpose of every leaf was. They were able to explain every crystal of sand. They knew everything in the creation, because if God created it, there's a purpose. Why did he create 10 million crystals of sand and not 10 million and one? If it's not there, there's no reason to exist. And whatever is there, there's a reason. We cannot fathom Ma'aseh Merkabah. It is so beyond us. We're happy if we can understand the simple creations and get a little understanding of exactly how they work. But those experts in Ma'aseh Merkabah, the great Hachamim of the Talmud, they had a hold and clarity on everything. That's how great they were. We have a tremendous amount of Yiridat HaDorot. The generations are getting much less intelligent as we pull away from Har Sinai. They once asked one of the Gedolim, could be the Gaon Mevilna, what would happen if David HaMelech would walk into the yeshiva? He said, we'd all burn to death. The same if Rabbi Akiva would enter now. What do you think? Rabbi Akiva would walk in, hey, hello Rabbi, Shavua Tov. Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, when he would study Torah, every bird that would fly over him would burn. They were fire. They were ish. Rav Shach said if the Gaon Mevilna would walk into Panovich, he'd hide under the table out of fear of the greatness of these people. So we talked about the Shonim Kemalachim, the older, we cannot even fathom their wisdom and their chokhmah, the breadth and the scope of their knowledge. If we understand that a rabbi of the previous generation was a malach, then you can call yourself a human being. But if you think that those rabbis of the previous generation of the Talmud were human beings, then the Gemara says you can compare yourself to a hamor. What does that mean, you can compare yourself to a hamor? A human being and a hamor see something. They both see this white styrofoam cup. A human being sees a white styrofoam cup, he understands exactly what it is. It's styrofoam, it's a cup, what its purpose is, it's to place things in it, used for drinking. A hamor sees the exact cup, he has no idea what he's looking at. Does he know it's a styrofoam cup, a drink? He doesn't know what it is. It's a hamor. That's the difference. When the great Tzaddikim and the Gemara looked at the world, they saw the depth of everything. They were able, with their penetrating eyes, to see the real understanding of it. We see the same things. We don't see anything. Because we're looking with the eyes of hamorim. We're looking with the eyes of donkeys. We could just see the glob of material in front of us. We have no idea what it is. Nachamim had that X-ray vision that we talked about. So we go on to say, incidentally, I'm looking now in the book, it was Rav Chaim Brisk that said, if David HaMelech would walk into the Bet Midrash, that everybody would burn. It wasn't the Gaon of Vilna, but the Gaon would say the same thing. But here's the Musar. We come along to ourselves and we say, all right, listen, David HaMelech, he was already found favor in the eyes of God. The Bi'akiva, the Tanaim, the Amoraim. What are we? Which means, even David in his time said, Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. Even David felt, I'm not worthy of God's thoughts. I'm not worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, dealing with me. If David didn't feel worthy, what are we supposed to think? We don't come near to their greatness. Maybe we should fall into depression and say to ourselves, yeah, this generation, Kadosh Baruch Hu really, we're too far from the source. We're too far from the light. But that's not so. Granted, the distance between us and Rabbi Akiva is a million miles. But when you take us and Rabbi Akiva, the distance between both of us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the same. Because God is infinite. And therefore, as great as Rabbi Akiva was, he's still... You can't get close to that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu's ends off. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as he was, when he got up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he learned the whole Torah, the Tagim he couldn't understand even. Which means even the greatest, God is unlimited. And then in that sense, we have something common with Rabbi Akiva. In the sense that we're both far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was a little closer. What's a little closer? As close as he was, it's still endless far away. So that's consoling to us. But I'll tell you even more so. You shouldn't forget how important we are. If Rabbi Akiva came in now, and he said, please, I need to borrow somebody's tefillin. Any of us can give Rabbi Akiva the tefillin, could wear those tefillin. The same tefillin that we wear, Rabbi Akiva could wear. They're just as kosher for us as Rabbi Akiva. He wouldn't say, well, these tefillin, that's what. Same exact tefillin that he's yotzei with, we yotzei with today. The same sasit that Rabbi Akiva wore, we wear today. And then we have to be reminded of how hashuv we are. Which means, as low as we are, still a Kadosh Baruch Hu thinks of us. And not only that, but we once said to those people that think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beneath him to think about us, that to me this is a very important yesod. As Jews, you have to know God loves us. God loves us. He loves us more than anything in the world, more than even the angels. There's nothing more important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than all, and he's thinking about us, and he's worried about us, and all our shtuyot things concern him. Even though we might not be concerned about our friends' trivialities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned about it. And he thinks about it. And he's involved with us. So I once said over, somebody once saw me when I left the bathroom, I was saying Asher Yatzar. What is this mumbling when you come out of the bathroom? She says, no, it's a special beracha. God's also worried about the bathroom also? Now you're putting God in the bathroom? Chas v'shalom with you. So I thought to myself, I said, Yishtabach Shemo Nahad. The rabbis that penned that beracha v'asher yatzar, they knew that there's going to be people that are going to have this claim. And what did he say? What do we say in this beracha? Galui v'yadua lefne chesei chevodecha. God, it is known in front of your kisei hakavod, if one of the valves of the body, if they open for too long of a time, or if they say shut for too long of a time, We're talking about our private areas. So we don't just say galui lefanecha. We don't say, God, you know, you're aware of this. We say galui v'yadua lefanecha sechev odecha. Not only are you aware of this, of the fact that we just came out of the bathroom, but this knowledge reaches the kisei hakavod. Who can go to the kisei hakavod? I don't know if the angels are even allowed to get into the kisei hakavod. But you know, when God's sitting at the kisei hakavod, what's God thinking? This boy has to relieve himself. Let's go to the bathroom. Bathroom, kisei hakavod, yes. Even the most menial human needs, like going to the bathroom, is galui v'yadua lefnei kisei chivodecha. It reaches the highest madrigot in the shamayim. Ad kedei kach to the kisei hakavod. And that's what David HaMelech concludes this chapter when he says, Adonai Adonenu, Ma Adir Shemcha Bechol Ha'aretz. God, our Master, how mighty is your name throughout the earth. How great that you have come down to the human beings to their level. I will conclude with one idea that was said by Rav Sa'adia Gaon. Rav Sa'adia Gaon says three times in the Torah, you see the word etzba used. The luchot are called etzba Elohim hi. They're called the finger of God. And you also see by lice. Next week's parashat Va'era. When the lice came down to Egypt, it says, Etzba Elohim hi. It's the finger of God. And in this perek over here, you also see, when David HaMelech says, Ki ir'esh shamecha ma'aseh zbeotecha, yareyach v'kochavim, or the pasuk that said, yeah, yareyach v'kochavim konanta, David HaMelech says the word, it's right. Ma'aseh zbeotecha. The skies, the heavens, the planets, is ma'aseh zbeotecha. So the Sa'adia Gaon says, amazing. He says, if I were to ask you, give me a manifestation of Etzba Elohim, of the finger of God, of the handiwork of God, you'd say, you know what? In the spiritual realm, the Luchot. That's Etzba Elohim. The Luchot was a great spiritual entity, the Torah, the law, the divine law. Okay, now in the physical world, give me Etzba Elohim. Etzba Elohim. Ah, the galaxies. Says Rav Sagunya, says, yes. But you know what? Even the lice, the smallest, most insignificant creature, is just as much Etzba Elohim. Not only do you find the finger of God in the great creations, even in the one-celled amoeba, already you're able to find Etzba Elohim. And when you delve into it, you'll see just as much divineness in the Etzba Elohim of the Kinim as the Etzba Elohim of the Reach V'Kochavim Asher Konanta. There's no place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more found or less found. His presence is everywhere at the same concentration in the creation. You just have to uncover it. And that's why there's a great Mishnah that says, if a person is in the middle of learning, a posek mishnato, a person that's in the middle of learning, and he's posek from his limud, and he says, man na'e ilan ze. He says, ooh, how beautiful is this tree? Mitchayev b'nafsho. Chayav b'ita. In the middle of learning, like sometimes we're learning on the bus, and we pass a beautiful tree, stop there, hey, what a beautiful tree that is. Chayav b'ita. What's the explanation? So the normal explanation is, when you're learning, you learn. And I start interrupting for about the trees now. You're learning Torah now. You're not on a nature walk. So one of the rabbis said, yes, but you see in this Mishnah also, that that's only when you're learning Torah. It's not proper to stop. But if you're not learning Torah, then manna'i ilan zeh is very important. Because from the tree you're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I have a different interpretation for this Mishnah. Hamafsik mi mishnato ve'omer maneh ilan zeh. If a person is in the middle of learning and he sees a beautiful tree, if when he looks at that tree can bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can see the fruits and how it works and the roots and how does the water go up and the chlorophyll and the whole brilliance of a tree is in the mood. That's also Torah. That's also Ahavat Hashem, like the Rambam says. But if a person looks at nature and nature is a break of Torah, if it's Hamafsik b'mishnato, if when he looks at the tree it's as if it's a diversion from the religion, then already mitchayev b'nafsho. If the looking at nature serves as a hefsek, as if there's learning, that's divine, and the creation, that's not the Torah. Wrong. The nature is Torah as well. The world is Torah. So if your attitude is that when you say manna'e ilan zeh, it's a hefsek, yahayav mita, because that means you don't see the hand of God in the creation. You don't see God's signature on everything that He created. You don't see the Adonai Adonenu ma'adir shemcha b'chol ha'aretz. That's our obligation as human beings. We must delve into the Biri'ah. The world is called olam. Olam is melashon he'alem. He'alem is something that's concealed. At first glance, it's hard to see exactly where the Shekhinah is. Like we say, Ata Elohim El Mistater. God, you're a God that is hidden and concealed. But once you start to look a little closer, then you see, where is there a place where you cannot find God? Borei Olam is Meloch Kol Ha'aretz Kevodo Yiratzon. In Zechut, that we studied our 8th chapter, B'zat Hashem, tonight, Perechet, Zechut of David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, Yagen Ba'adenu. We should have the zechut to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation. We should be zochet to Ahavat Hashem and Yirat Hashem, and to see Yareach v'kochavim asher konanta, and to come to the truism of Hashem Adonenu ba'adis shemcha b'chol ha'aretz. The Bihan and Abba Kasha Amir. Ladies and gentlemen, just to announce the coming schedule, next Motzei Shabbat, Be'ezat Hashem, I'll be flying to Eretz Yisrael b'sha'at tova muslachat. The following Motzei Shabbat, I have to fly back. So that's going to put out Tehillim those 2 weeks. The following week, Be'ezat Hashem, I'm supposed to be in Morocco visiting the graves of one of the tzaddikim. Be'ezat Hashem, he's expecting me. So therefore, we will continue this class in the 4th Motzei Shabbat from here. I'm sure you all wish me well, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rabbi, what if you don't make a hefsek while you're learning, and you say you look at that tree?
But those interpretations, it's not an individual Torah. I've been using it to get closer. Chaim Balaji said you're not to interrupt Torah with Musar.
I'm sorry about that. I asked you. I didn't know, you know, you had something on your mind.
Oh, that's all I'm
doing. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry about that. Okay. It's okay? Thank you. Now I know you have everything on your mind. Hopefully I have me on my mind too.
But who's thinking about your son?
Okay. That's the main thing. Thank you.